Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast, sponsored by WebSpy. It's November 23, 2010, and this is episode 269. With just a month to go until my December exhibition opens here in Tokyo, I figured I'd give you an update on my planning and the stuff that I'm learning along the way today. Before we jump into the main topic, I'd like to quickly thank our sponsors, WebSpy, the Internet Monitoring, Analysis and Reporting Specialists. If you have a Twitter account, go to blog.martinbaileyphotography.com and click on the text link underneath the WebSpy tile to the right. That will automatically tweet the message, thanks to @WebSpy for sponsoring the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast, to show your support for the podcast. To find out more about WebSpy and their products, go to webspy.com/MBP and use the discount code MBPWSY for a 10% discount on anything that you buy. So as I say, and as you've probably already heard, I'm holding an exhibition of 38 of my Nature of Japan images from December the 23rd to the 30th this year, with it being exactly a month from today, and bearing in mind that I just completed 10 20 by 30 inch gallery wraps that I'll be displaying, I thought I'd give you an update on my preparation, including a few things that I didn't touch on in episode 262, in which I relayed some of my thoughts on preparing for a gallery exhibition. Firstly, as a direct follow-on from episode 262, especially having been contacted by a few people on this, I wanted to talk about a little bit about how I went about selecting the 38 images that I did and what I was thinking as I came up with the order. As I mentioned before, the images were narrowed down to 38 pieces that represent my Nature of Japan portfolio of work. The reason that I selected such a wide selection of work is because I really wanted to present the viewer with my vision of Japan and the wonderful variety of nature and colours in this beautiful country. I have enough images to do an exhibition of just Hokkaido winter scenes, just snow monkeys, just flowerscapes, just birds, just red-crowned cranes, or a number of other more specific sets of images, but I really wanted to show the images that really moved me from the last 5 years, and it's my wish that people that come to see the show will also be moved by the pieces. If they're not, then, you know, that's too bad, but I think that people that are on a similar wavelength to me will enjoy the collection. On the actual order that the images will be presented to the viewer in as they move around the gallery, my initial thinking was, as with when I put a portfolio together, was to lead with my strongest piece. Now, for those of you that won't make it to the show, don't worry too much if I skirt over a lot of this here, as I intend to create a slideshow of the images, hopefully even containing some video footage from some of the locations, and I'll release that at around the time that I'm doing the exhibition. The mother and child snow monkeys is probably one of the emotionally strongest pieces of the collection, so she gets to go first. As the visitor walks into the gallery, they'll see this first, along with three more 20 by 30 inch gallery wraps on the first wall. The next three images are not necessarily strong pieces, but I wanted to also introduce the viewer to the fact that some of the work that they'll see is going to be black and white, some is grand landscape work, some is wackily vivid and highly saturated work as they turn the first corner. From here, I started to batch my work into groups, trying to keep the theme for each segment of the wall. The second wall starts with four autumnal leaf shots, but then there's my long exposure shot of the Shinto gate with the sea behind it. This doesn't match the wall as such, but it's more of a change of pace, showing the viewer that the bright, vivid autumn colours finish here. On the next wall, I gathered most of my winter wildlife images, starting with and ending with the snow monkey shots, and including Ezo deer, red crowned cranes, and some Stella sea eagles and white-tailed eagle shots. Next, we have a short partition that will stick out at right angles from the wall, with room for just three images. So I placed the three waterfall shots that I wanted to display here. As the viewer walks around to the other side of this panel, there's room for two more shots, and I decided to show two full-frame bird-in-flight shots here. Sure, these are winter wildlife images as well, but A, they don't really fit on the same wall as the others that we just looked at, and B, they're slightly different in that they're just birds in flight with little other information about their surroundings, unlike the other wildlife images that I'm displaying. Next up, the viewer is whacked about the head with a sea of red bokeh in a 20 by 30 inch gallery wrap of my white poppy in red shot. To the right of that is a moody cherry blossom shot, and then a 20 by 24 inch gallery wrap of my black and white lotus flower shot. I just finished this particular gallery wrap a few days ago, and I've got to tell you, it looks spectacular. The breathing colour laminate process is now a piece of cake, by the way, now that I've figured out that the last remaining problem with the white flakes that I mentioned in it a few weeks ago was caused by the foam rollers that I'd also bought from Breathing Colour, but I digress. On the next wall, which is the back wall of the gallery, we take a short walk down Bokeh Lane with another poppy flowerscape. But there I group three bird shots together with lots of bokeh and also the white eye in the cherry blossom image that was published in Popular Photography magazine earlier this year. Again, at the end of this wall, the viewer gets another hint at the change that's coming with a winter scene with red persimmon fruit in the snow-covered tree before they turn the corner for the final straight along the longest wall of the gallery. Here we have nine winter scenes in a row, three of which evenly spaced are gallery wraps. Three of the images have eagles or swans in them, including the Stella sea eagles with the Kuril Islands in the background that I chose to use in the poster for the show. We end here with the serene scene at the jetty at dusk, and the lone swan on the Kotoku Pond that I've had at the end of my Nature of Japan portfolio for a while now. I think these two images lead the viewer out of the collection well, even though the lone swan shot is getting a little bit long in the tooth now. So that's my thinking on the logical order of the images, you know, just sort of trying to put a little bit of a lead in to certain groups that are sometimes loosely sort of matched together. I should add that any and all of this is just planning until I actually see the images on the wall of the gallery. My intention is to get the pieces displayed as quickly as possible and then to see what they really look like. If anything needs to be placed in a different position to this, it'll be changed on the fly on the evening of the 22nd as we set up. So moving along, some of the other things that I've noted as I continue my preparation, I wanted to touch on the importance of meeting the gallery owner before the show. This may be pretty obvious, but I initially booked the gallery without actually meeting the owner. Communication was good, but perhaps a little bit businesslike and relatively dry. Having visited the gallery last week, though, and talked directly to the owner, it was really nice to put a face to the voice, as it usually is, but they also offered me a number of benefits that they were not initially open to. Whether this was intentional or they just opened up to me more once we'd met, I don't know, but I certainly felt that meeting was part of it. The biggest thing for me is that they, you know, although they initially stated that I couldn't start to set up the exhibition, hanging pictures, etc., until 10 a.m. on the morning of the show, they're now going to allow me to start setting up from 7 p.m. on the previous day, after the previous show is cleared away. This is a huge help. This means that I'll probably have everything hung by around 9 or 10 p.m. on the previous night. And even more importantly, we'll have a little bit of leeway to bring anything that I might forget or become aware of at the last minute on the following day. And it's a big relief to have a chance to screw up without going totally public on things instantly. It also means that I will be able to take the art pieces to the gallery in my own car. Initially, I was thinking that I'd need to hire a moving company for a few hours to take the gallery wraps and the frame prints over to the show, because paying for parking for a full day in the city is extortionate. And I will also be having a drink at the opening party, and so won't be able to drive back. During my visit, I also confirmed that we'll have enough wires to hang the pieces from, and I have also checked the audio system and now understand how I'm going to be setting up my audio to play through their speakers, which is great because they have 4 Bose speakers, one in each corner of the room, tucked up in the ceiling space. I intend to play music that will hopefully match my work, and will be creating a playlist in iTunes, either on my laptop or on my iPad. And I will just basically loop through that music all the time that the show is open. I will, of course, also put my entire library of music on there so that I can customize the playlist as I see people's reactions to the show and the music. I've also ensured that I have the flexibility to move the spotlights around to light my work nicely during the show, which is important as I don't really want to create dark spots unless done intentionally to increase the impact of a certain piece. But, I've confirmed also that they have a number of collapsible tables and wooden boxes that can be used to build platforms for displaying supporting materials, and a table there to put the visitor's book that exhibitions here usually have for people to sign and leave their addresses so that you can let them know about future exhibitions, etc. Before we move on to another topic, there are just a few last things that I wanted to touch on here. I wanted to quickly mention that I will also be creating a profile panel that will, with a little bit of information about me, so that people that don't really know me can get an idea of where I'm coming from. I'll also be creating a board or flyers about the archival quality of the materials used in the gallery wraps and prints to educate people that might not understand the concept of archival quality prints. I'll also be creating little caption cards to place on the wall either below or to the right of each print, with the title of each piece and probably the month and year that it was shot, as well as a few words about the piece. I also intend to put a price on each caption plate or a number which will map to a price list that people can take in their hand and carry around with them. I'm still figuring out which is the best way to go about this, even today, with just 1 month to go. I also wanted to talk a little bit about getting the word out about the exhibition. Exhibitions here in Japan are usually quite short. I've seen people do exhibitions of less than a week, and a 2-week exhibition here is a bit of a luxury, so you have to try and get people into the show while it's open, especially if you want to make some money from the sale of art pieces. Of course, one of the first things that I did was create an English and Japanese webpage and tell all of you about the exhibition via this podcast, but I also know that many of you don't even live in Japan and will have little to no chance of actually visiting the exhibition. I also put an annoying little message onto all of my websites via the Wibia toolbar that presents everyone that visits the site with a brief description of the show and a link to the details page. This can be turned off, of course, so hopefully I didn't annoy people too much with that. This will allow me to also reach people that don't necessarily listen to the podcast, but still, this won't be enough to get people in Tokyo into the gallery. To get the word out about to the people that would otherwise have no way to even know that I exist, I created 1,000 postcards and took them to some of the large camera stores in Tokyo. Yodobashi Camera in Shinjuku, for example, has a large plastic holder that can be seen here in an image that I've attached to the blog post and into the Enhanced podcast. And basically, people can drop their exhibition postcards into this folder. It's a free service, and anyone that has, you know, anyone that's having an exhibition is free to put their postcards or flyers in there. Of course, I asked at the counter too, to be polite. I also gave a stack of over 100 postcards to the kind folks at Map Camera, just down the street from Yodobashi, and they told me that they'd put a stack on each floor of their store, which is great. It's important to go back and see how the postcards are going down too. To be honest, the first time I went back to Yodobashi after about 10 days, the stack had hardly changed. But when I went back last weekend, still a few weeks on, there was only a few left. So hopefully that's an indication that I'm generating some interest, even if all of the people that took the postcards don't turn up. At the very least, they now know that there's an active photographer in Tokyo called Martin Bailey, and that has to be worth the 8 yen or so for the card and the time for me to leave it there. I also took a stack of postcards to the Canon Gallery in Ginza and asked to see the person in charge of the gallery. They kindly agreed to put a stash of my postcards at the entrance to their gallery, and I was told that they would also send some to head office, which is great. The person in charge of the Canon Gallery said that they personally would come along to the exhibition, which is also another great thing to hear. So again, well worth the effort to go over there and ask to put some postcards on display, and I hopefully made a good contact within Canon there as well. I created a B2 sized poster, which is 500 by 707 millimeters, and took two copies to the gallery last week for display outside the gallery while the show's on. I also printed this out at about half this size and took a copy to my barber, the guy that you've seen in portraits a number of times. It had been a few months since I moved house, and I was having trouble finding a good barber in my new area, so I figured I'd killed two birds with one stone and asked him to put a poster in his shop window. Here you can see him sizing up the poster from the outside. For the last few weeks now though, the poster's been on display in his shop on the inside of the window, and this is prime window space in a residential area of Tokyo, so we'll hopefully generate, you know, at least a few visitors, hopefully more. He, of course, has a stack of postcards inside the shop as well for people to take away with them. Another thing that I did was contacted my favourite magazine here in Japan and asked if they'd put an ad for the exhibition in the magazine. And I don't know if it's been accepted yet, but if it is, it will be in a very large distribution magazine that is released on December 20th. Just 3 days before the start of the show. So that will hopefully get a few more visitors into the door. Anyway, you get the picture. You need to put in a little bit of time and effort, more than a little bit of time and effort, and thought into getting your flyers into good places, and use whatever media is available to you to get the word out and enable people to learn about your exhibition. I also updated my email signature with a link to the exhibition webpage and have received a number of mail from people that I've communicated with saying that they'll be coming along. The email signature is pretty much automatic once set up, so you can reach people that you didn't even know would be interested with virtually no additional effort, so it's all worth doing. One last note on getting the word out is that I intend to see if there are any newspapers that will come to a quick press conference on the morning of the exhibition before I open to the public. I kind of doubt that this will be possible, but you know, you have to think big. So I'm going to give this a try. If I can get a note out about the exhibition into any of the Tokyo newspapers, or maybe even a few minutes on local television, that will really help to get people through the door. Of course, I don't know yet how much all of this is going to pay off. I'm hoping to sell enough work to at least break even on the exhibition, but It's so much more about placing a stake in the ground at this juncture in my career and getting my name out there. And it's more important, I think, than making money. Of course, now that photography is my only source of income, it would be nice to make a little bit of additional money from this as well to help keep the roof over my head. One quick note before we finish about the newly released Apple iOS 4.2.1 for the iPad. If you have tried to listen to the enhanced podcast version of this podcast on an iPad, you'll probably have noticed that the images that we discussed were not displayed on the screen as they are in iTunes or on an iPhone or a compatible iPod. This was an incredible screw-up on Apple's part, in my opinion, with them not fully supporting one of their own proprietary formats. Anyway, that aside, iOS 4.2.1 for the iPad fixes that issue. So now, if you listen on an iPad, you'll be able to enjoy the images as we discuss them too. There is still a problem in that the images are lower resolution than the iPad screen, so they don't look 100%. This is, of course, another Apple screw-up because they make GarageBand too. You know, that's the application that I use to create and encode the enhanced podcast. But we can probably expect a fix for that in OS 11 or whatever. Thanks for listening today, and thanks again to WebSpy for sponsoring the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. Remember that you can find me on Flickr and Facebook, as well as Twitter, and of course my blog and the Photography Forum. All links are on the top page at martinbaileyphotography.com, so do drop by. I'll be back next week with another episode. But in the meantime, you just have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.
This is Dave Warner, and I'm the host of the LensFlare35.com podcast. Each week, I bring you interviews with some of the top photographers using digital SLR cameras. They share some of their coolest tips and tricks, techniques, and news about what they're up to. So please take a moment to visit the website or subscribe to LensFlare 35 on iTunes.
The Martin Bailey Photography Podcast is a proud member of the Photocast Network. Find this and other great photography podcasts at photocastnetwork.com.